The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
It's probably pretty simply the whole idea of winning the one-on-one matchups up front. You know, from there, being able to do that kind of repeatedly so you have good running stats at the end. I don't have any other magic formula to it. You've got to block them. You know, I think we have good runners, and I think we did miss a couple of opportunities the other night running the ball, actually, in the ball game. You've got to block.
Hey, welcome to it. How are you? Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, a friend from Ireland, and he is on mic too, guys.
Yeah. Oh, how's it going? Hey, come on up. Come on up to the microphone. This is Ted the Irishman.
Yeah.
And he is going to make his first Husker game today.
That'll be great.
And he doesn't.
It'll go better than our show open.
Well, probably. Yeah, that wasn't the best. I kind of misfired there on the Riley comment. But essentially what he was saying is in order to run the ball, you should block. It's like, yeah, that's a good idea.
And that was a great...
Since we have helmets and pads.
That was a great thought coming into this morning. Yeah. Right? Because when it comes to on-field, that's kind of been what's talked about. The run game. Off the field, it's the fall of Frost.
Yeah, pretty much. Not the fall as in he's not getting it. It's the fall of Riley.
Not like the fall of man. No, I'm talking the fall of...
Riley is falling, and it's the fall of Frost. I know what you're saying, though.
Are you absolutely worn down to a nub with... We're finally into November. November's supposed to matter.
Yeah.
This is how you can close out a season. It's how you're judged. Yeah. Of all things with college football, how you start. If you get an iceberg midway point, if you're a program... Yeah. November's kind of where you rebound, and it's that final push, that final drive, that final
fourth
quarter. Right, finish him!
Yeah.
So, and now you're just kind of like, can we get November over
this
with?
This isn't going to excite Ted the Irishman.
No, it'll be incredible.
This is not going to excite Ted.
Ted, am I okay to say it's Ted the Irishman?
Ted the Irishman, yeah, that works. Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not? Because it's, you know, it's descriptive for listeners.
No, I know, yeah. I know, but...
I don't know, I'm a neutral. I'm watching from far, far away. And I don't know, like, yeah, it's all about momentum.
Yes, it is.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, yeah, I know it's hard. Like, I can't call myself a Huskers fan, but I'm around Husker people. And, yeah, there's a certain kind of, there's a lament. There's a drop in the energy levels. A sadness. And I think we can break that today. I don't know, I'm feeling pretty positive. I got off the plane and I was like, yes. Let's do this.
So, okay, Ted, thank you first for spending time with us this morning on Hail Varsity. Secondly, was this something you've always wanted to do, or did at Mark Skurs on Twitter work on you for a while? Hey, bro, jump on a plane, go across the pond, and let's check out Nebraska Northwestern.
It's probably the latter. Although, like, there is context here because I did go to my first game in 1988.
Really?
14 years of age. The Boston played Army.
Boston College.
Wow.
It was like the Emerald Isle Classic.
Yeah. In Dublin.
And I remember taking an incredibly long time because we're used to a rugby game, 90 minutes, 80 minutes, good luck, goodbye. but it's a show. It's a spectacle.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of excited about. Where I come from, the rugby, there's a particular roar that, you know, would have been the old Lansdowne Road. Uh-huh. And everything I've heard about Nebraska makes me believe that I'm going to walk in that stadium and I'm going to feel this. It's going to be it's going to be inside, all over. And I'm excited about that.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up because I hope so. I hope that's the case today. Because, and I was trying to explain it to Ted, and it's, you know.
Kranak.
You're following.
I'm going to go hindsight on you here.
What?
Why didn't you bring him in for the Wisconsin game?
Oh, I know. That would have been better.
Yeah. Do you want to talk roar and hype and build up and juice?
Yeah.
Today, you're hoping, I mean, the fans will be there to support, but
yeah,
you want to
curious.
Talk energy level mm-hmm. and buzz, and you can get a couple of tickets for $15. I mean,
I know.
It's been, I can't wait to go to, hey.
Let's get this damn season over with so we can get the new coach in.
Let's get the paper boy and his family, see if they want the tickets. I mean, that's what it's kind of turned into.
Yeah, but I'll be, here's the thing.
Hope I'm wrong.
Most of us, we do understand that there are, what, seven of these a year. This is probably Nebraska football, if you live around here, is what, maybe one fifth of the reason why you live here. Like, you live here because you got proximity to family, you got safety and good schools, you got good cost of living, available jobs.
Great folks.
And Husker football. It's in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And when 20% of that is gone, you know, which has kind of been what this year has been about. Like, 20% of it is inconsequential now. There's nothing to fill it with. You're like, damn it. Damn it, everything else is great, but come on. This is why we live. You don't live here for the weather.
It's a big part of the state's identity.
Yeah. You don't live here for the geography? For the topography? That's not why you're here.
The tamales? I don't know. Yeah. They live here for the tamales.
He hasn't had a tamale yet. I'm going to introduce him to a tamale.
You've got a whole hit list to take care of today.
Well, because I think that you could make probably millions if you introduced the Irish to tamales. It's a tamale kind of country. When you get there, you're like, it's kind of cold, kind of rainy, kind of a nice freaking tamale would be perfect here. He's like, what the hell's that? I'm like, I'll show you sometime.
You're gonna get Ted a slice of Lazari's today.
Maybe.
Yeah, you're gonna get Ted a slice of Lazari's. Yeah. You can get him a Runza. You're gonna get him a Fairberry brand hot dog.
Well, I'm gonna hide under an underpass as well. That's what I've been told.
Yeah. You can do blur party.
Yeah, tailgate.
The whole cultural experience. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Like, when again home with the rugby team, slightly different. For years and years and years, we were like, awful's the wrong word, but we weren't good. And that was hard.
Yeah.
But that's where you cut it as a fan. Like, that's where you find out who you really are. So when the good days come, it's like, I remember how bad that was, how tough that was.
Yeah.
Right now it's flipped. Nebraska fans are remembering when they were dominant, and they want to be there again. You can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio. Tap the line. Schillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Ted the Irishman in studio with us for the next hour and a half. His first Husker experience will commence today. He's checking out a copy of Hail Varsity Magazine. We're getting him set up, right? Mark Kranak in studio, Chris Schmidt, Ethan and Colton Stone, producing and engineering today. Mark, let's dive into the things that you don't know about today, and that is, how is this team and staff gonna come out against Northwestern? There's been so much off-field talk this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's been most dominant. The on-field is still important. Northwestern's been just a mother to deal with, especially in Lincoln, and you just don't know. Because I think what was most deflating when you go back to last Saturday, you had two awful just embarrassments with what Wisconsin did in the fourth quarter and then what Ohio State did all four quarters.
Yeah.
You have a bye week, you lick your wounds, you work on tackling, air quote, you work on your fundamentals, and what did Saturday night look like? It looked like you hadn't practiced. It looked like you hadn't prepared.
Yeah.
You were, now I'm not saying they weren't trying, they just still look sloppy. They still look...
Yeah.
They don't look put together fundamentally.
It's funny.
Until the two-minute drill. The best they've looked all year is something every time there's been an open practice I've witnessed, and that's a two-minute drill with whoever the quarterback's been.
Yeah,
that's what's emphasized, and they take pride in running it, and it looked great. So there's a little bit of hope, and you walked away going, man, that was bad for 58 minutes. But the final two, high-five it, pour me a shot.
That was the weirdest feeling I've had for a win.
Because about the third quarter, you're like, screw it, right?
Well, sort of, yeah. So,
were you angry?
No. Because I wasn't that surprised either, right? You're just sort of like,
I was surprised because after the bye week, knowing it's Purdue, knowing the build up to the game, like it was the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That stuff obviously doesn't matter. Ohio State was the biggest game of the year. No, Wisconsin
I'm saying following the fallout of the two beatdowns.
But the team's shown a great ability to fold under pressure. so I was like, you know, I wasn't expecting a lot.
I expected like one last charge
of But it was the weirdest feeling after
crispness, I guess.
It was the weirdest feeling after a win, and I was trying to figure out like how do you describe it? And it was sort of like
you got away with one.
Well, you're happy for the human beings on the team. Like you're happy for the players, you're happy for the coaches. They've been through the ringer. Like
yes.
As human beings, you're happy. As far as being a fan of the program itself, you're super concerned. Right? Like,
absolutely.
And those
absolutely.
Two, it's the so it was the weirdest feeling after a win. Like, they get the win, you're just like, yeah, that's great, but oh, God, why did it come to that? Why are we having a rally against Purdue?
Why are you down 12?
There's a reason why they're called Purdue. Mm-hmm. And they have been for so long. I don't care if they're an upstart program. No way in hell. Should that be the case where the last two times Nebraska's traveled to West Lafayette, one, they get a loss, and then the second time they damn near do, if not for Tanner Lee and his heroics with his arm. Where the hell would Nebraska be without that guy right now? And compare that to what you were saying earlier in the year, when it's like, what's wrong with this dude? But he's the saving grace for the team. If he's not on the field, this is a really ugly team.
No, it is. And credit him. You mentioned not knowing how the team's going to respond or not having much faith in how the team would respond when it comes to folding. He hasn't. And he's been the guy in the situation with some bad results that could easily have folded. When you look at the pick sixes, the decision making, the harassment he's faced, the narrative of the season and just getting piled on after getting put on top of Everest to this savior quarterback.
Yeah.
Look at his moxie. Look at his guts to kind of refocus and just keep grinding. And then kind of find his comfort zone, his rhythm, and be really good. I mean, some of the plays he made, the throws he's made, going back to last Saturday in the face of pressure.
Oh, I know.
Just beautiful throws. Yeah. And I think if you're a Nebraska fan, we've talked a lot over the years about what you want to look like as a Nebraska offense, what you're used to seeing, run the ball guy, all of that stuff. You've shifted to just win the game guy. just find a way to do it. And the other news this week, Bukie Radley-Hiles opening his commitment. We have enjoyed our discussions with him a couple of times during the recruitment process. Just a great kid, really good talent. He is checking out OU and Clemson, of course. We'll have a recruiting segment coming up. A number of visitors, despite the uncertainty.
That's a weird thing, too.
You got a lot of big-time players. Greg Smith will tell you about 8:45, 8:30. Gary Sharp will be with us. Brandon Vogel going to be joining us next hour. Our rewind, we love breaking out Barney. Coach Gary Barnett.
Gary Barnett, former Northwestern coach.
Yeah, former Northwestern coach. So
before
that is
he
coming
went to
up
Colorado.
In about 15 minutes. We'll
and
hear
now
from
he's
Barney.
A broadcaster.
Yeah. So he has thoughts on Northwestern.
Boards.
So back to Ted, your friend from Ireland. He's going to check out his first Nebraska game. What have you set him up on with Nebraska historically? He'll get to see it.
Yeah.
Take him to Vintage Red as well.
Vintage Red.
Right next to Oklahoma Joe's.
Okay.
So Husker, it's like a couple bucks to get in, $5 maybe. Part of it goes to teammates.
Okay.
And it's got the actual jerseys. It's got a ton of stuff. Just kick it down there for
this is a store.
It's like
I don't even know what this is.
It's a museum.
Oh, a museum.
Yeah. It's like a Husker museum. Yeah.
Nice.
Vintage Red. It has T.O.'s headset from the 78 Oklahoma game in there.
Okay. Are there shots of Everclear there?
I'm not going to say yes, but I won't say no.
Okay. Just wondering. Yeah, so
tell me the setup here. What's the itinerary like?
Itinerary
I trust
is,
you as a tour guide.
Well, the guy's got to get some
you
red.
You trust him as a tour guide. I don't trust him as a tour guide.
Don't you really?
Oh, you should.
No.
You should. I'm in my element here. Don't trust me outside of the element.
I got to ask
But inside the element,
I'm curious,
I got you.
Right? I'm curious. As a neutral, what's the perception outside of Nebraska about Nebraska? Like, how is this affecting Well, what's the reputation outside? What are people thinking? I'm curious.
They're thinking Nebraska is a has-been and it's over. It'll never be like it was before.
Okay.
And there's a section of the population that's delusional, over-demanding.
That's got to hurt the reputation because you're a proud state from that point of view.
Right.
Know,
oh, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what makes it weird. And And you really don't have a comeback for that national narrative that's developed where it's like, ah, Nebraska, it'll never be like it was before.
It's your comeback.
You know. But at the same time, you see proof elsewhere that would lead you to believe that it absolutely can happen here.
Yeah.
It can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. It's a complex formula.
Takes the right guy.
And by the way, this is sort of the conclusion I've just made with Mike Riley.
Okay.
And this isn't going to be too novel or groundbreaking. Good thing I'm saying it on the radio then. Sorry. It's just not working out. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean you don't like Riley. Riley's a good guy. He's shown that he can field a team. He's shown that he can coach at a fairly high level with lesser talented Oregon State. He's shown that his offense can put up yards. He's shown a lot. He's a respected guy. He's doing amazing things on record. But it's just not working out. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a...
You don't
it's
feel...
It's just not...
You don't
gonna
feel
work.
It's going to change for the better.
It's not... It's sort of like it's the old... It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Breakup thing. Where you're just like, yeah. Look, Mike, appreciate you, Mike. I really do. Like, good dude. Great guy. You run the program with class. You seem to have a... And think about the Calabrasca thing. That's essentially what we've been sold on is the recruiting pipeline from California and how that's going to transform Nebraska.
Hope and helps increase, on the way.
Increase the talent. Look, dude, Nebraska's in year three. Give me a Calabrasca member that's doing a damn thing on the field. You got one, Markel Dismuke.
Yep, he'll probably start today.
And he's only been doing that because of injury, to be honest. Right? But it's essentially, Calabrasca was supposed to mean top-shelf receivers, receiving the ball from top-flight quarterbacks. Your receivers right now, dude from New Orleans, guy from Alexandria, Virginia, that's a multi-year starter, what, fifth-year guy by now, DP. And then you got... Then you got Minneapolis. Dude, it's just not working out. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Calibrate, the vision, it's just not. It's not happening.
The talent you've tried to acquire is going to take a little more time to develop, and that wasn't supposed to be the case.
Yeah. And it's a non-factor.
And I'll say this, you know, because the two guys you point to that were supposed to be immediate impact guys, fair or not, that's what the buildup was. Lamar Jackson, Tyjon Lindsey.
Yep.
Lindsey's been their best blocker. He's kicked butt, taking names with that. I think he's done well. When it comes to catches and yards after the catch and being a viable weapon in the pass game, no.
Nope.
Lamar Jackson led the team in tackles, kind of shook off a wrist injury. And he needed to because his other homeboy was in concussion protocol and is still in concussion protocol in Lee. So the other thing you got to talk to yourself about is, okay, fine, you're getting this talent in here. Will it get developed to produce at a high level?
Yeah.
And it's not just, okay, asking freshmen or sophomores to be awesome. Can they get good by their junior or senior year? Because what you're also seeing now is guys that are juniors on the team and seniors on the team, they are not playing at the same
regressing
level.
Regressing in some cases.
They are not playing at the same level as when this staff walked in as freshmen. Nick Gates was a better player as a freshman.
It's just not a good – it's just not working out. I mean, I know that's not novel, right? Like, you can sort of see it, but it's
– you've seen enough to know that you don't think it's going to work out.
I mean, have you seen anything to tell you otherwise?
No. I don't see the team getting better, first of all. I don't see the team – having an identity. I don't see the team. And the other part of this too, man, there's been constant transition, period. You've always had some sort of reset after a year. And maybe that's because whatever had been on the field or on the sidelines hadn't been good enough, so you're constantly changing. But you didn't come in right away set with a staff ready to go kick tail immediately.
Yeah.
You brought your guys from where you were from, and then you've constantly tweaked that. Well, good for you for making tweaks, but you're about out of discards. And your offense, what you're known for, has been the issue in conference play.
Well,
and overall, the physicality to win this league and compete in this league is lacking, and you don't see it showing up anytime soon.
Look. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off there.
No, I was just, go on, go.
So the, look, the thing that is going to bite them the most and has bitten this staff the most, and something that we should have seen coming, and frankly, I think the media did a terrible job, ourselves included, at really diving into. We bought it hook, line, and sinker about how, oh, it's balanced, and, you know, Nebraska, of course, Mike Riley understands running the ball. Look at, you know, Vincent Bernard, look at the Rogers brothers, look at Steven Jackson. That was ages ago. Because you look at Oregon State's recent statistics, Riley and company coming in, listen to some of their yardage totals in games in 2014. Running the ball, 97, 58, 12, 37, 47. Go back to 2013, 57, 48, 10, 74, 70, 17, 92, 70. You're talking, go back to 2012, 52, 86, 82. Multiple occurrences going all the way back to 2009 where these guys don't even come close to 50 yards. Look at this stretch in 2011, 32, 33, 31, right? Go back to 2010, 78, 97, 68, 90. Routinely, these guys they established a track record of not being able to run the ball effectively.
No, they're right.
And you're going to transport that to a conference that demands that you do. It demands it.
Because it's a mindset.
If you can't, you ain't going to win in this conference, period. That's where run the ball guy is coming from. It's not a harken back to the 90s, like, you know, it's not, oh, run the option or you can't do anything. No, it's to win in this conference, you better be a competent running team.
Because it's attitude.
And these guys, this staff has shown all the way back. Look, the yards per rush since these guys got here, gone down each year, and then all the way back to literally 2009 at Oregon State, really bad running team, really bad running. So this staff, this offense, does not at all incubate or produce a unit that is capable of running the ball. And if you try to do that in the Big Ten, you're screwed. Here we are. You're 4-4. And how did we all not see that?
We saw it because the narrative was what you wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It was always stressed.
Yeah.
He came in and didn't go Joe Daly with the West Coast offense. He had Tommy use his legs specifically in year two.
Mm-hmm.
And they told you every time there was a press conference when asked about it, how important running the ball was. So the intention or, you know, verbalization of its importance was there. It was just never translated on the field. And I'll say this about them. Coming from Oregon State, you don't expect to be behind at Nebraska. That said, you had to throw the ball. And you had to be in that type of offense to your talent level because you were going to be down 10 or 13 points to the SCs and Washingtons of the world.
Yeah.
So you created an offense to
catch up with that.
To catch up, and you're always in catch-up mode. And 62% of the time this year, according to HailVarsity.com, you've been behind this year.
Yeah.
So guess what? You're down. What do you do? Well, if you're down by enough, you can't start. You can't keep running the ball. It's going to chew up too much clock. So, better go air raid.
Dude.
That's just it. It's you're chasing your tail.
Yep. You're looking at incompetent run. Look at the Pac-10s.
Wasn't emphasized, Krainak.
Yeah. Well, look at the Pac-10. 2014, Oregon State finishes 11th. 2013, 11th. This is in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I got you. Pray to God it wasn't Pac-10.
2012, 10th place. 2011, dead last in the conference. Mm-hmm. 2010, 9th when there were 10 teams. Mm-hmm. Just bottom of the barrel in the Pac-12. How do you think that was going to work here? It's just, you know.
Because you were told it was going to be a priority.
It's just not working out.
It's Mark Krainak, Ted the Irishman, all the way in to see his first Nebraska game, Chris Schmidt. Our Rewind segment coming up with Gary Barnett. No time like now to get proactive with your health. Madonna Proactive Fitness and Wellness Goals. Madonna can help you hit that. My goal, get down 15 pounds. And
it's
Madonna,
working, man. Looking svelte.
Keep drinking. Located at 56th and Pine Lake Road is where Madonna Proactive's at. They offer individualized personal training, beginner and advanced classes, and a variety of fitness equipment. Three pools and the only heated aqua track in Lincoln. It's time to get fit, time to get back in shape. Madonna Proactive can do that. You know Katie, she's been on the show before. Her and the great folks at Madonna Proactive can help you do that. Schedule a time for a tour today, 402-420-0000. When you sign up with an annual commitment, you'll pay nothing until January. That's some free months. As far as I do that math, the best special of the year. And when you get signed up with Madonna, they'll give you a free consultation with a personal trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach. That's $175 value.
I think that's where you're falling down is the dietitian part. You need to listen to him, her. You need to. Tris, you're not. Cheez-Its at midnight. Part of that plan.
I get that. Schedule your tour today. I'm going to bring Cranack with me. Child care available and can log on MadonnaProactive.org. Great facility, amazing amenities, and the folks there to get you back in shape or started on that process at 56.
I mean, Funyuns for breakfast,
in
man.
In Pine Lake.
It's just.
Road.
It's not. That's not part of the plan. Need some whole grains, some lean meats. We'll get some veg in you.
Bacon?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking about going to the gym and get to the gym. All right, a timeout. Our old friend, Gary Barnett, former coach at Northwestern. That is next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
We welcome in the coach at Northwestern and at Colorado. He is enjoying the sun and the beauty of Zona. Gary Barnett with us. Coach, how are you?
Chris, doing well. It's nice and warm down here, I can tell you that.
Got my mother. My mother is flying down tonight towards you. And yes, they are excited about nice and warm, not flurries and what the hell. So that's good. Big weekend of college football, Coach. And I wanted to start off and get your thoughts on Nebraska's run game. That's been talked about all week. The comeback and the win is, you know, a chance to jump on some momentum for Nebraska heading into this weekend. Northwestern's kind of bottled that up. Three straight wins, two overtime wins, an exciting one against Michigan State. And I wanted to get your take on what you do if you're Nebraska with the run game at this point in the year. It's really struggled last month, and Northwestern's one of their strengths defensively is stopping the run. If you're Nebraska, what can be done this week to kind of regenerate it, rejuvenate the run attack?
Well, I think first of all, Chris, you got to decide whether or not that's the best way to win the game,
right?
Because there's no sense pounding salt. I mean, it doesn't do you any good. You know, it's about getting yards, and you know, and it's the best way for you to win the football game is going to be to throw it or to throw the run game out there, the quick screens, the backs out of the backfield on the flares and that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, at this point in time, it's not about let's fix the run game. I mean, you're 10 weeks into the season, and some things just aren't going to get fixed. So, I think you have to look at what works for you and what's best, and how can I get a good running back the ball without having to have him go up inside or if you're in a running game. You know, maybe it's a lot of misdirection. Maybe it's, sometimes a quarterback is the best way to run the football. I don't know how much of that they want to do, but I don't think you sit there and go, okay, let's fix the run game, because that's a hard fix in a week.
It is. Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What are your thoughts on Northwestern this year and where they're at? And they have rebounded well. I've seen bits and pieces of them, and the score was much closer. The game was much closer than the score against Penn State. Okay. And then they were right in it with Wisconsin, and Wisconsin made a play at the end. So those are two top five, top 10 teams that they were in it with. 31-7 was the final score against Penn State. And then they get the overtime win against Iowa, and then they do their thing against Michigan State. I mean, that triple overtime, 39-31, was just an incredible finish. Is this as hot as they've been in quite a while coming in, do you think?
Well, I think that's probably true. You know, they're fairly well balanced. They're not extremely good at anything. I mean, they're not an extremely good passing team or extremely good running team, but they're solid. And you mentioned the overtime game against Michigan State. That was those three series they had in that. And that overtime game were pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. Those were really well called offensively. Mick McCall, I mean, he had it. He was in the zone in overtime because every one of those plays worked fabulously. And you know, the 2-point play that they had to convert and everything else. So you know, they're hitting. When you win two overtime games, one is you feel lucky, two you feel pretty good, and you feel like, you know, no matter what happens, you know, if this game goes to overtime, you have a big advantage. So it's a confidence, I think, that comes out of two games like that. And yeah, they're playing pretty well. You know, they got hammered by Duke early in the year, and you're right, it was a closer game against Wisconsin, but that's a game they always play well, a team they always play well. Penn State, maybe a little closer than the score indicates, but they're a solid football team. You know, they're an upper division, upper half of the Big Ten football team, and you got to respect them and get ready for them. And you know, I know Nebraska's a 2-point advantage, but or it was when I looked at it on Tuesday.
Minus one now.
Minus one now, and fading. So, you know, they pulled it out last week, but so did Northwestern. So it has a matchup of has a chance to be a really good matchup, and. But Northwestern is solid. You know, they're solid top to bottom, defense and offense. They're not a great team, but they're a good team.
Nebraska we've been talking identity all year. You know, what's Nebraska going to be? And Riley wants to run and do the play action. And the pound salt thought is great. The danger of kind of going Air Nebraska here. Is there, you got to do what you can to win the game. I get that, but it seemed like they got in. That's the best they've looked, Coach, all year. I mean, your eyes are way better than mine at football, but that's, to me, that's the best they've looked in that 2-minute drill, offensively, period.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you ride that? Do you implement some tempo this week?
Yep. You know, you got to win the game. You got to do what you got to do to win the game. And, you know, at this point in time, you're not trying to be a purist. You know, so it's too late to be a purist. Be a purist in the spring. So they got to find a way to win the game. And that tempo was good. If that team is built for tempo and can handle tempo, not just in that drive, but if they can do it throughout a game. There's things that happen when you start playing up tempo. The one thing that happens is guys stop thinking, mm-hmm. and they just have to react, and that's a good thing. The tempo,
Coach. A thought from you here before I ask you about your time at Northwestern on the game. I mean, how do you think it shakes out? Minus one and fading. Does Nebraska use last weekend to get the win, or does Northwestern stay hot and stay unbeaten here in their last three, making it a fourth?
You know, this game obviously will always come down to turnovers, and it's so hard to predict those. You know, you can predict play, but you can't predict what happens to turnovers. And to me, you know, if Tanner can avoid the turnover in the passing game, if he can avoid the interception, and this team's pretty good at that, at collecting interceptions, if they can avoid that, then I think being at home, they have an advantage. But if the turnovers come into play, then I think Northwestern wins the game. They're just more solid top to bottom.
Well, and that's how they've won in Lincoln the last few times. They've been
yeah.
getting defensive scores. It's not
yep.
just winning the turnover
yep.
margin. They get points out of it. So,
yep.
Coach, talked to Coach McBride earlier this week, and he was smiling and also, you know, bittersweet about not being able to get Pat Fitzgerald to Lincoln because he recruited him. Pat Fitzgerald obviously was an incredible player for you. He's been a great coach at Northwestern. And how did you connect with him, and how did he help build what you wanted to do?
Well, Pat was a kid that we recruited for a year. We wanted him. But he was sort of holding out for Notre Dame. And
really?
Yeah. So I actually sort of got mad at him, and I had to get a linebacker, so I got in a plane and flew to Louisville to offer a kid that was from Trinity High School in Louisville. And when I landed and pulled up in front of this kid's house, I got a phone call on one of those old cell phones, you know, that looked like a...
The Miami Vice ones?
Yep. I had to carry it to the airport. And so it was one of my coaches, Greg Brandon, and Greg says, Fitz wants to commit. I said, oh, he wants to commit now, huh? So I said, let me call you back. So I sat in my car for a few minutes and decided, okay, we're going to take Fitz instead of this kid. So I had my director of operations call the kid and say I couldn't fly in. The flight was canceled. And I was sitting out in front of the house, but I felt awful. And so Fitz became the last guy we took in that class. But from day one, first year he was a typical freshman, but from a sophomore on, he'll tell you it happened when he was a junior, but we could tell when he was a sophomore that he had a mind for the game. Mm-hmm. And then, I told every one of our coaches after a three-day practice, I said, you're all going to go out and coach different places probably, but Pat Fitzgerald's going to be a guy you're going to want to have on your staff sometime. Mm-hmm. And then, sure enough, he wasn't fast enough in the NFL, and he wins the Defensive Player of the Year two times in a row, and decides to go into coaching, and he's coaching with Ron Vanderlinden at Maryland. He's in the fall, and then I get the Colorado job and call him, and he jumps in, makes the move to Colorado, and is with me for a year, and then one of our guys gets the Idaho job and takes Fitz with him after just 1 year, and which says a lot. Mm-hmm. And so then he was there with the coach for a year, I think, and then got hired on at Northwestern as a linebacker coach. So, his rise was pretty fast. And they had to make a decision when Randy died, mm-hmm. Randy Walker, Pat probably wasn't ready to be the head coach, but they knew eventually he was going to be the head coach. So why not live with his mistakes and his youth and hire him now? And Northwestern has that kind of perspective on things. And, it's just been a genius move on their part to hire him before he was ready. They've kept him away from everybody else as a result.
Has that been difficult, do you think? His name's come up a lot.
A little bit, because Northwestern's such a different place, and if you let yourself get resentful about the things you don't have, then yeah, it can be hard. But Pat's a Chicago guy, South Side of Chicago. His dad carries his cords on the sideline. Stacy's from Chicago. They are Chicago people. He's got three brothers-in-law that are cops in Chicago. So this is a Chicago guy. And so while it has been somewhat difficult, he's never really wavered too much. He's used those offers to sort of upgrade everything at Northwestern.
What finally won out for him, do you think, to commit to you versus Notre Dame?
I think Notre Dame didn't offer him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple enough.
Simple enough, yeah. So who knows? But, he's an Irish Catholic kid from Southside Chicago. Why wouldn't he think about Notre Dame?
No, and those were the years, too. I mean, Holtz was there, and, Notre Dame was playing. You guys just beat him for the national championship, didn't you?
Yep, so tell Charlie he probably finished third, not second. So.
I will talk. Charlie's with us every Monday, and I will. Yeah, that's pretty good. Didn't get an offer. I like it. Okay, Michigan State, a little rapid fire here, Coach. Michigan State hosting Penn State, -9 here, Lions. What do you think here? Both teams coming off just brutal losses.
Always a big game. Always a game that both teams play really hard against each other when they play. I mean, every year, you just don't know. But Penn State's got too much going for it right now. I think Penn State wins. That was a heartbreaking loss. I don't know if they get over that, but I'd pick Penn State.
Well, they were up, and they got conservative, and it didn't work out. Iowa hosting Ohio State, -17.5. Kinnick, it's not a night game, but it's still Kinnick, and they've been great late.
Yeah, but it's Ohio State, so I'm going to Ohio State. I just can't believe they would let this thing get away from them right now, the chance they have. So,
okay.
But that is one of the three hardest places to play in the Big Ten, no question.
Iowa State at West Virginia. Coach Campbell's been great. Everyone loves Iowa State right now. Tough one out in Morgantown.
Very tough. That's a complete football team out there. They're playing great defense. They can throw the football. It's a hard place to play. You know, I got a they've had three emotional wins in a row. I got to think West Virginia's got a real chance in this game, but it's hard to go against Iowa State right now. But this could be a great football game.
Stanford at Washington State. The Pirates stumbled two of his last three. Stanford comes in narrowly escaping Oregon State.
Well, if Love wins, Stanford wins. But gotcha. Otherwise, it's going to be Washington. Excuse me, if Love plays, Stanford wins. Otherwise, Washington State's going to win that.
Clemson at NC State.
That's a battle, boy.
Yeah, it is.
Clemson's got too much at stake. I think Clemson's a really good football team.
Bedlam, OU at Okie State.
I think finally Oklahoma State gets the monkey off their back. 12 out of the 13 times they've played when they're ranked, OU's beat them. So I think Oklahoma State's good enough to beat the rookie coach.
Central Florida at SMU.
I don't care. No. You got to go with Scott. So Frost.
I know, but he's supposed to have a baby this week, him and his wife, and you got Florida open.
She's not playing.
No, I know.
So, what the heck?
LSU, do they cover the 21 and a half? No? Okay.
I don't think so.
Virginia Tech at Miami.
Ooh. I like Virginia Tech. I think that's a really good football team.
I think they are really good. Arizona at SC. Last thought here.
That's a great question right there. Too much SC offense, not enough Arizona defense. I go SC.
Okay. Gary Barnett, coach, kind enough to catch up with us every Thursday here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, enjoy the warm weather. Thanks for a few minutes with us today.
Will do, Chris. Talk to you later.
Take care.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
I think it's just a matter of really working hard on the fundamentals with good technique and then continuing to change it up on them. They've got a very stout run defense. That's been evident watching their games.
Danny Langsdorf this week on Nebraska's run game. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. Ted the Irishman will partake in his first Big Red experience today. Welcome into the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Big thanks to Gary Barnett. Brandon Vogel is 10 minutes away at HailVarsity.com and magazine. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, his thoughts on Nebraska today. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, big recruiting weekend for Nebraska. And Mark, a thought on Buki. That was not so subtle in your Hail Varsity no huddle this week.
It was tough to ignore.
It was tough to ignore because the thing you're pointing to in the future, that cornerstone piece, is shopping.
Yeah, it's you knew it was going to happen.
No, yeah, and it should happen for him to check around and see what's best for him.
It obviously makes sense.
I want to win and play for championships. That's the type of kid you want to go after. Well, how far away from it are you if you're Nebraska? You're 4-4 right now.
I mean, you're running out of...
Beyond the uncertainty and the swirl that's going on.
Well, you're running out of reasons. You're running out of sort of excuses for why this regime... You know, that sort of felt like the nail in the coffin to me. You know? It felt like that second half of Ohio State as well. Sure. But you could at least point to the future. You could at least point to guys like Buki Radley-Hiles. Mm-hmm. Can't even count on that now.
No.
And that's not, I don't think that's Riley and company's fault entirely because, look, their athletic director got fired. That created the turmoil. Their play on the field led to that. I get
it. Sure.
But the turmoil surrounding the program isn't entirely their fault. It is with the play that they've put out on the field.
Yeah. What you're seeing on the field, though, is. Yeah. I mean, if you're a recruit, you can't ignore that.
Oh, hell no.
Either. Don't ignore Sunday brunch, Wilderness Ridge. Grab that gal of yours for an incredible brunch this weekend only. Wilderness Ridge, log on wildernessridgegolf.com. They have, say it with me, chili and cinnamon rolls.
Oh, beautiful.
Have that by the fireplace.
That's a good American combination.
Starting noon on Sunday. Tomorrow, Wilderness Ridge, chili and cinnamon rolls. Get your reservation. Brandon Vogel, next.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, the weekend edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and Ted the Irishman will partake in his first Nebraska football experience. He is joining us in studio this morning. Coming up, Gary Sharp, recruiting analyst with Hail Varsity, Greg Smith. And we welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogue's also an author, Dream Like a Champion, with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook. Get the book now. Get several copies for the holiday season. Vogue's, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing all right. We have spent time this morning talking with Ted about some Nebraska football, also getting into, you know, just kind of the mood and climate going into Northwestern. We have talked about the recruiting issue this week with Bukies opening up his commitment. We've kind of dove into, you know, the Scott Frost narrative, and I want to start there because you, my friend, as you wrote in the hot reads this week, you did some lurking. You did some lurking on the old Florida message boards, and what did you glean? What's the Frost hysteria like down there in Gainesville from your vantage point?
Yeah, well, first of all, I feel like we should apologize to Ted for having to hear all that stuff. But that being said, here comes some more. Florida, you know, it was amazing how much that experience was like reading any message board anywhere in the country that I was. They're, of course, convinced that nobody in their right mind would ever turn down that job. It's obvious that they can have the pick of whoever they want. And a surprising number of them, to me, I thought, are on. They've been frostbitten at this point.
Nice.
That is.
Might want to trademark that.
There, yes. T-shirt time with Brandon Vogel.
That seems to be the top choice. She saw a little bit of support for Chip Kelly. Dan Mullen, surprisingly, which is the name you see a lot of national pundits say, well, here's 1 + 1 = 2. He's been there. He runs a exciting offense. He mentors quarterbacks. He should be call number one. They're a little bit torn on him, I think. So, yeah, that was kind of the mood there. It got all the great rumors that Frost's agent has been in Gainesville. You know, just stuff that simply couldn't be true. But so it goes. That's the coaching search world.
Brandon Vogel, managing editor for Hail Varsity, is with us on the Hail Varsity Radio Show. So as you're perusing that, did it change at all? Or I guess, what was your opinion going into it? If you had to handicap it now, is Frost more likely to go to Florida, or is he more likely to come home?
That's still a tough one to answer. I don't know if I had a thought going in. Everyone there, of course, is convinced that he's their number one choice, and it's essentially a done deal. I really don't. I would be surprised. I guess one of my takeaways was that I don't know if Florida actively being on the market and being able to back channel these things and kind of contact them without the specter of, well, we're not doing it behind the coach's back because that coach is gone. I don't know how much further ahead that puts them with any of these coaches, really. Just when you consider, but especially one like UCF with the season that they're having. Yeah, you know, your agent can call you and say, hey, what do you think about this? But I really don't think that his focus is on any job other than the one that he has, which seems like a cliche. But from what we know about Scott and his kind of personality, that certainly seems to be true. So overall, Florida fans are very happy to be first in line at this point. I'm not sure it matters all that much, if that makes sense.
Vogue said, Frost was on with Mike Bianchi down in Orlando this week, and he was the Florida gig and the opening at Florida was brought up. The speculation about Nebraska was brought up, and you know, he acknowledged in this interview that at some point, yeah, there's a time to talk and address the news swirling, but his head is down, is the way he put it, focused on the kids and what's going on in Central Florida. So there's a little bit of a acknowledgement about the atmosphere around him, while the insinuation and reminder that, yeah, I'm here, I'm doing what I need to do here, and I got SMU this week, and I got a baby on the way this week. So that was touched on. Your thoughts on Bill Moose's comments to Baugh this week?
Well, the question that I had with, so from what I've been able to garner from Moose, from an interview I was able to do with him a week ago, was that experience mattered a lot to him. And when you look at sort of Scott Frost's resume, is 2 years at UCF enough if Nebraska were to be in the market and wanted to pursue him? I didn't know the answer to that question. I kind of thought, well, maybe it's not. Because when I spoke to Moose, he talked about coaches with 10 or 15 years, you know, a coach like Leach. I mean, there was a lot of track behind Leach at the time that he hired him at Washington State. His comments to Nick Baugh seem to kind of alleviate that part of it, I think. So he said, you know, the one piece he was missing was that experience, and after 2 years, in his opinion, he has it. So kind of grease the skids a little bit there, I think, as far as that goes, if we get to that point.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. To that end, the if we get to that point, and it's almost like a twilight zone when you have to kind of give these qualifiers and there's the uncertainty. Let's just come out and handicap it. The likelihood that Riley returns, percentage-wise, what would you put it at?
40%.
Yeah, that seems actually high to me. Why do you say 40?
I mean, I think not knowing, I guess, what the plan would be. I mean, I think it's clear what Nebraska fans want the plan to be, but not knowing what the plan would be beyond him, I think there is this scenario where you kind of see what's out there, you take your lay of the coaching landscape, factoring in all the national parts of it, and maybe you feel like it's better to just, we'll try this next year. We'll have more time. And the fact that Moose would have to do this essentially in a month and a half on the job, that's a really accelerated timeline. So I think that part of it maybe adds 10 or 15% to the odds here, just because, man, it would all really happen quick, and you'd need a lot of things to fall into place to feel really good about getting the guy you want, whatever guy that may be.
That one is it's interesting, because if that's the case, then Riley still has a chance in your mind, and a decent chance. These aren't against all odds chances. Performance wise, then, what do they have to do for that 40% to cash in and all of a sudden turn into 80%, 90%?
Probably, honestly, it's the pet topic here, no matter what's going on, but I think it's especially true here. They've got to find a way to have some success running the ball. If they were able to do that, I think the offense would look significantly different. It's the missing piece. Even if this is an offense that's probably at its best throwing the ball and was at Oregon State, you could see it still needed some success. It still needed a threat of a run. And Nebraska doesn't have one right now. I mean, virtually zero threat of the run. So if they were somehow be able to find that, and I have seen nothing through eight games to this point to say that, well, yeah, here it's clearly going to click over the final third of the season, that would make things, I think, look significantly different, because defensively, they're kind of where they're at in this first-year transition under Bob Diaco. But minus Penn State, the offenses they're going to face don't challenge them the way some of the offenses did over the first 2 months of the season. So I think they'll be fine on that end. It really becomes a matter of these last four games is what can the offense do, and how much can you legitimately put on Tanner Lee before he eventually just breaks? Because not being able to run the ball really, really makes it difficult on a quarterback.
When you look at Bill Moose in his evaluation process and that decision timeline, the eye test is important. You're going to hear about it with the college football playoff plenty. But I think that's one of the biggest frustrations for Nebraska's fan base right now is how the team looks. Vogues, going back to last Saturday, what was your biggest takeaway? The 58 minutes or the 2 minutes that won it?
The 58 minutes. To the point of that last drive, that game had played out basically exactly to form, in my opinion. You know, there was little difference between Purdue and Nebraska, which is what I thought coming in, was not what I thought coming into the season, but that's where both programs seemed to be at going into last week's game. And then, you know, you got a great drive out of Tanner Lee. Purdue probably got a little bit conservative, but they were getting pressure up front without bringing a ton of guys anyway. Tanner Lee just made the throws. So it kind of was exactly what I thought it would be. Flip a coin at the end, determine the winner, and it's kind of how it went. That's not to take any credit away from Nebraska and going on that last drive, but you could play that game back 10 times, and it probably looks a lot like that one looked most of those tries.
To that end, and it's Brandon Vogel is with us, managing editor for Hail Varsity. To that end, about Tanner Lee, kind of lost in all this is, I mean, that was damn near a virtuoso performance that he put on. And when you stack it with what he had done in the couple games prior, that's a pretty high level of quarterbacking that Nebraska's getting from Tanner Lee right now. I guess how do you? This is an impossible question. But as a fan, how is it possible to appreciate that and be into that while you know that the overall institution is crumbling? Right? Like, that's sort of the dichotomy here that is just crazy.
Yeah, no, I think it absolutely is, because Tanner Lee, from the, you know, really the moment he started, kind of stopped being the scout team guy, just the guy in the shadows, and kind of became, almost from the moment they started, the kind of face of the team, at least offensively. I think he's done everything right. Now, he kind of has that NFL quarterback persona where he's going to say all the right things. And, you know, he's very good at that part of it. But from everything we've seen, he kind of just he's kept his head down. He was faced with some kind of extraordinary mistakes early on, mistakes that he owned. And as far as that part goes, like, I think everything from him, well, it wasn't as good the first 5-6 weeks as people were either thought it were going to be, was going to be, or were led to believe. He worked through it. All of it's kind of, you know, classic Nebraska values sort of thing, which I don't see that much of a jump for people to say, well, what could this guy be if the pieces around him were just a little bit better, which ironically is what you felt for him coming from Tulane. So if he does come back for the next season, that's going to kind of be the narrative again in the offseason. You already see a formula. Well, put a run game around him, and all of a sudden you've got a guy who's pretty good.
We had a chance to talk with Tanner one-on-one this week, and his attitude, persona, I mean, he's kind of just – he's out there to a degree of – he's analyzing, but you can't see his heart racing. Yeah. And he's just calm and he's cool.
Yeah.
And he's seen about everything. And he's experienced the hype. He's experienced Tulane. He's experienced the pressure of Nebraska. And he's answered the bell when, again, there's so many most dudes can and would have folded based on how the buildup was. And then the reality of on the field and the pick sixes and the ire of fans and the questioning. And then for him to bounce back and then put a two-minute drill together, by the way, after 3 weeks of, well, your coach is gone, I mean, it's just guts. And I step back and really appreciate him. Obviously, his talent's really nice. But just his character. That's what's cool to see with him, because he's the guy that's stepping up trying to lead. But I think he's doing that a lot by the example he's setting, and I hope guys follow that as we get into November. I don't know that he's going to be in your face pointing at dudes. And that's just that personality I don't know exists prevalently on college football teams, at least the last several years at Nebraska.
Well, and, yeah, it's not going to help anybody block. You know
No, I know. They you feel, know, you know, you got smoked. They feel bad enough. You know, going nuts on somebody isn't going to be good.
You know what's interesting about that, though, is who could relate with Tanner Lee's experience more than anybody?
I know.
Scott Frost. I mean, what Chris just described, Brandon, is that that's exactly how 1996 played out for Scott Frost. Pretty amazing.
Absolutely, you know, and it would be interesting to see the meld of, I guess, offensive style and sort of that sort of the motivational psychological angle. Not to mention Frost's track record with quarterbacks, which is pretty phenomenal when you add this guy that's got a UCF numbers to the mix. If you haven't looked at those lately, go look those up. They're kind of eye popping for a three-star guy who was kind of unheralded out of Hawaii. It would be a lot of fun to see that. I'll put it that way.
Vogues, as we wrap here, a thought on today, what happens.
Oh, yeah, there's a game.
All right, man, and that's it. It's Northwestern. They're pretty good. They're on a roll. They're beatable. It's 2:30 kickoff. I mean, it's one of the games that have been great. They've been back and forth, high-drama affairs. Tell me about today. What are you looking forward to with this ball game?
Well, looking forward.
You're
to
still your, looking.
seeing how it plays out, because it sets up kind of classically in my mind. And here's why Pat Fitzgerald is good at Northwestern, given the limitations that they have. Sort of things you hear Matt Campbell talk about a little bit. They've got to be really good at the little things. Northwestern knows what it is. And I don't think you can argue, well, Nebraska knows what it wants to be on offense, but it can't execute right now. Without that threat of the running game, it's really hard for them. They're essentially one-dimensional against a pretty good defense. Defensively, I think they'll hold up okay. This is the sort of offense that doesn't challenge them in the way some others do. But they're still not quite there yet. They're still developmental, as Bob Diaco would say. So it all kind of looks like a game where Nebraska's probably going to struggle to run the ball, put some strain on the offense, and Northwestern's probably going to pull one out here again by another score, like somewhere along the lines of 27-20, something like that. But for me, it comes down to Northwestern knows what it's trying to do, what it is, and what it wants to be. I think Nebraska's still all figuring all those questions out.
Vogues, we look forward to your reaction column with HaleVarsity.com. What's coming up on the website and the magazine as you look at this weekend and beyond?
Yeah, so the interview I did do with Moose, there's going to be a story in the upcoming November issue of the magazine on that, on sort of what he's looked for in past leaders and kind of his primary job, which is a little bit unique in that it seems squarely football-focused given all the other boxes Nebraska already checks. Have game coverage from today, sort of our usual complement of in-week coverage leading up to Minnesota, which should be a pretty interesting trip regardless of what happens today. I think that'll be a good kind of litmus test for Nebraska. So I'm kind of looking forward to digging into that one as we move into next week.
Vogues, thanks for jumping on with us, bud. Great stuff. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel on HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Read him, follow him at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, and read his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Go see Rick when you're downtown today or next week with Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. Listen up, Kranak.
Okay.
The extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown diamonds.
Nice.
1 carat diamonds.
Conflict-free diamonds.
1 carat diamonds available for just $99 down.
Get some ice.
$99 a month.
Nice.
Rick can help you out with that. 12th and O downtown. In Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. So go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, and that deal is phenomenal. Think about it, for the holiday season, 0% interest financing through 2020.
Ted, Irish Ted over there is sitting there.
Ted's going to take some diamonds back.
No, he's sitting there saying.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, uh-oh.
Well, he's also thinking, you got a place called Grand Island?
Yeah.
In the middle of the country?
That sounds like a pretty chilled out place.
It's a good, it's a good spot.
It's not really an island.
We like GI.
Yeah. There's no water here.
The Platte does not count.
Yeah. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse. Gary Sharp next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and we welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, to talk Nebraska Northwestern. Ted the Irishman is still here. And no, I was getting there.
I mean, when was the last time we had somebody from a foreign nation?
In studio?
In studio.
Never.
It's never happened.
Sharpie, good morning. How are you?
Apparently not as good as you guys.
Well,
I'll stay domestic on this conversation.
No. We want you and Ted to have a conversation about whatever is on your mind regarding Ireland right now.
Wow, they have hosted a couple college football games in the last few years.
We're trying to get that going.
We've been kind of putting out the feelers for Nebraska.
We have a little different football over here. We decide to wear helmets, and you guys are tougher over there.
It's the same gig, though. It's like we were chatting about it. It's the same gig with Nebraska. It's putting that pride back in the shirt. You know, it doesn't matter if you're putting on a rugby shirt, a football shirt, or, you know, an American football shirt. It's putting that pride back in the shirt. And we were chatting about it, and I kind of feel that's what Nebraska needs, someone to step up.
Well, regardless of both of our struggles, you can say that both either states or countries have passion for the programs, which is sometimes not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Sharpie, how's your week been? I know you chatted with Mr. Moose, and, you know, what's your kind of read coming into today, off the field and on the field?
I think a lot of us are worn out.
Yeah.
Four weeks can't get over soon enough, which is unfortunate for the guys that are playing football, because we look forward to the season, but it just seems like we're doing this again in November, guys, where we're talking about coaching changes and things aren't going well, and it's going to be a long 4 weeks. But with that said, you know, I think you have to go game by game. You can't look at today and go, okay, this is a day to get back to establishing the run game. Next 4 weeks, or you find a way to win no matter what. And does that change anything that happens the day after Black Friday, you know, which is now, you know, through what happens 3 weeks from today? Who knows? But it's just kind of exhausting, and you hope that there's a carryover from the way the game ended on Saturday night. As ugly as it looked and the result, you still won the football game, and you're two wins away from being bowl eligible, which I think for the players is vitally important.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, a little theory about maybe why Nebraska's at where they're at and why the run game isn't there. And I guess the numbers would bear it out if you look at the last 5 years of Riley's teams at Oregon State. They were just as bad running the ball as they are now. Do you think it's because they sort of developed into the team that was sort of outclassed physically, had to pretty much play from behind, and their only chance to do that was to throw it. And so that's what they ended up kind of valuing as a staff overall. That's what the offense is like completely predicated on, and now it's just starting to show. So they don't dictate as much as they, I don't know. It's kind of like they built their entire program around, we're going to have to catch up, and the only way to do that is to throw it around.
Well, I think, let's stick to 3 years in this discussion. I think where Nebraska struggles with offensive line dominance is they struggle to win January through August, and then somehow Monday through Thursday to Saturday, something gets lost. And I think one other thing is you look at Nebraska this year, and it's been a carousel on the offensive line. And Cole Conrad might be the most important guy in the last month. We all say Tanner Lee, which I would agree with, but Cole Conrad gets a second opportunity to play center. Remember, a big issue with that offensive line was lack of communication and incorrect play calls from the center position. So that worries me going into the last four games, but Cole Conrad, I think, is finally aware of that, and that'll be something that's on his mind. I never thought we would be in a situation, guys, hit November, and you would say the right side of the offensive line is more stable than the left side of the offensive line, which has more experience. The thing that is startling to me, and I've asked coaches that coach offensive line, Nebraska's blocking schemes haven't changed from last year. You know what changed from last year? There's a different type of quarterback. You don't have a Tommy Armstrong running quarterback now, but you're still blocked. Your blocking schemes are like he's back quarterback instead of Tanner Lee. It's just, it's been a mess. It's been a complete mess, and there is no rhyme or reason that Nebraska should only run for 40 yards against the 53rd best rush defense. Now, this will be the fifth team in the top 17 that they faced. The previous four, they've only run for a little over 80 yards. I don't think they'll abandon it, but if you're looking at how to win the game today, your best option might be throwing against that porous pass defense. But to be able to throw the ball in quick game or down the field, you're going to need some pass protection. So we'll see. Those guys are on the clock again today, which we really shouldn't be talking about when we hit the ninth game of the season.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. How do you expect the Memorial Stadium atmosphere to be today?
I think it'll actually be okay. The weather's going to be nice. Northwestern is at least a named team. There's been some drama the last three times they've been in here. What I think you'll see today, and I know there's tickets available and they were cheap, I actually think you'll see some people that don't normally make it to a Nebraska game during the regular season because of lack of availability or the price of tickets. So I think you'll see a little bit of a normal atmosphere in there, considering everything that's surrounding it. But it's important that Nebraska has a good first half because there's some good games on at 2:30, guys. There's a really good game on at 3 o'clock. And if you get to halftime and it's bad football and the result is not good, people will decide that it's time to go back out to the tailgate and stay and watch the games or go to your local watering hole. But I think at the beginning, I think it'll be okay. I think people will give this team a quality effort from the stands. They just have to match it on the field. And, you know, I'm looking forward. I think you'll see a lot of newbies there today, not Marcus on the field, but in the stands, which I think might add to the atmosphere a little bit.
Well, you're right. There's even people from Ireland coming into this game.
Yeah.
And he'll make the most noise. I mean, he'll bust the applause meter on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and they'll find him next to Kranak, the old Jumbotron. Sharpie, a recruiting thought with Buki's decision, and then the visitors that are coming today. The one thing that Coach Riley has been just super proactive with has been recruiting. That's been an emphasis, and you know the keystone dude in the class has decided to check around, visited Oklahoma, has been to Clemson. And what's your read on that? Is that more about the uncertainty, or is it more about where Nebraska's at as a winning program right now?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it was probably a very hard conversation with Buki and Dante Williams and Mike Riley because of the relationship that they built. And in this case, I don't think anybody's to blame. People immediately said, well, the fans are to blame, the media are to blame. You know what? There's no blame to be given out here because a young man made a decision and he's looking to the future on where he's going to go to school that he might not be at some place where he's got someone that he's familiar with. He's the guy that chooses coaches over school. That's okay. Some choose school over coaches. He also, I think, looked at winning momentum and maybe, am I going to get in 5 years where I want to get to under this staff, and that is to get to the NFL. So there's no blame. I don't lose my mind over decommits. I don't get super high when somebody verbally commits. They have to sign on the bottom line, and then we discuss them. I think he made a choice that was best for him, and that's okay. You know what? We all make bad choices at 17 years old, and we regret them. You've got to take your time, and he took his time. And I think it says, you know, Nebraska and the instability here, guys talk, and so they make decisions. And I think he was in that case, and so he moves on. But then there's the flip side of that. Give credit to the staff. This is unbelievable professionalism. They continue to do their job with everything that's swirling around, and people are asking them, hey, are you guys going to be here next year? And honestly, Mike Riley, by the way, told a high school coach, somebody that he's recruiting his player, the high school coach flat out asked him, do you know what's going to happen? And if you ask Mike Riley, he'll be honest with you. He said, we don't know. So with that said, I think it's very impressive how the staff was able to put the list together for the weekend, but they're not really going to get anybody to say yes until things have been resolved about 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, and that's what makes this time interesting is, you know, the parallels on the field are, of course, 2007. But there was very little emotional attachment to Bill Callahan from the fan base,
right?
Because he's
Bill.
He's incapable of emotions. That's part of the reason why, right? This time is different. I think you just alluded to it, Gary. You just said, you know, there's nobody to blame. And that's sort of what it feels like for the entire operation under Riley right now, right? It's like you can talk about recruiting, you can talk about I-course, you can talk about practice habits and offensive style and defensive style and coordinators and all this stuff, but at the end of the day, it kind of just boils down to it's just not working out, right? Like it's same with Bookie's recruitment. It's just not working out. You really can't blame one single factor.
Well, I think. If there's somebody to blame, let's go back to the beginning.
Harvey?
No, well, he's go back even further. I keep saying this, and I've said this for about a year. The former athletic director hired a football coach for himself, not a football coach for what the program needed when you're making the rocky transition from Bo to Mike Riley. Mm. And it has been probably not a fantastic fit for what Nebraska needs and wants, and Mike Riley has been chasing it the entire time, and I don't know that he's been chasing his vision. I think his vision has had other people saying, this is your vision, and thus you have some people probably that are introduced to Nebraska football and his staff that he's not comfortable with and go against kind of what he's thinking about the long-term plan, and you've gotten sideways. And we've been in this hamster wheel for a long time. But at the end of the day, regardless of who's the athletic director in the power chair, and as we all know now, Bill Moose is impressive. He's super confident. He's very passionate. He's here to get the program back to where we all expect it to be. You also have a situation where, you know, you look at it, and the bottom line at the end of the day, what has ailed Nebraska for a long time, you can say athletic director, you can see support, you can say not paying the assistants. It is flat-out coaching, guys, whether it be coaching on Saturday or coaching guys up. We could make a long, long list of guys that came into the program with high accolades, didn't leave at that same level, and that other side of the list, those guys that got better in the program every year, that's small. And I think coaching has been so big, and that's why when people say, "Well, what if you get rid of the current staff, you lose the recruiting class?" Well, you know, when Iowa State got rid of Paul Rhodes, they lost a lot of people in Ames, and they hired a guy who's a very good coach, and I think they're okay right now at Iowa State with Matt Campbell. So I think coaching is the number one thing. People say, "Well, you know, there's some challenges recruiting to Nebraska." Well, you know what? You don't know Nebraska. If you can recruit to Nebraska, it's just to compete with Wisconsin, to compete with the other beasts in the East, can you coach the guys up that you get here and make them better when they walk out the door?
Amen. Gary Sharp with us. Sharpie, we'll see you a little bit later down at the stadium. Thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care. Gary Sharp with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Quick timeout. Greg Smith with us next, Hale Varsity recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We'll talk to Greg about the visitors next.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Winding through a Saturday edition, Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Ted, the Irishman is getting closer to kickoff. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. Welcoming Greg Smith, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, wow, what a weekend for visitors, right? Just how you had it planned out. Tell me who's coming to town. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent, man. Hopefully you guys are doing well on this fine Saturday morning. But yes, it is I think it's okay to say surprisingly good weekend for visitors. I guess I have to lead off. When you have a five-star coming to campus, you have to lead off with that, right? We have a five-star wide receiver in Tarron Hall coming up from California. There's a Long Beach Poly with a Charlie Crosswell, who was on an official visit, I believe week one, out here. This is a four-star defensive back, Caleb Gervin, from Michigan, potential Boosie replacement. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. Four-star defensive end, such outside linebacker Elijah Wade, who has been kind of under the radar throughout this cycle because he's not Micah Parsons, so you have not talked as much about other guys that are going to be converted from defensive and outside linebacker, but he's definitely one to watch. Two-star running back out of Memphis, Jeremy Banks, who's been blowing up on the circuit. Three-star offensive tackle Chris Bleich, who everyone thought was going to come to Nebraska over the summer when he kind of randomly committed to UCLA. And unranked defensive back Andre Sisco from IMG will also be on campus. And then maybe the two most important guys that are scheduled to be on campus are Mario Goodrich, four-star defensive back out of Kansas City, Lee Summit West. He's going to be here for his official visit. His actual first time back to Lincoln this season. He's the only commit that hadn't made it back to campus yet. He'll be here this weekend. And then as far as we know right now, Joshua Moore, as he broke the news on his diary on HaleVarsity.com this week, will be here for an unofficial visit, his third time being here this season.
Greg Smith with us, recruiting analyst for Hale Varsity. Man, you talk about awkward times. Nowhere does that manifest itself more than in recruiting and talking about the visitors, because I think most fans are sitting here listening like, why are we wasting official visits when these coaches are going to be gone, right? I mean, it's generally what most people think. So that in mind, let's take Mario Goodrich, for example. He's a guy that both you and I are really high on. As far as just explosive athleticism, just love it. Love it, love it, love it. Get more dudes like that on this team, please. He seems like, tell me if I'm wrong here, he seems like a guy that is probably more likely to commit to the university than he is the coaches, more so than other recruits. Do I have a good read on that? Is that your sense with him too?
Yes and no. He, I think, is actually the rare combination where it might be both, where I think that you have a strong chance to hang on to him if there's a change. But whenever I talk to him, he mentions how close he is with Dante Williams. And I know, like, even when I was there watching him play, he after he came out of the locker room, he had just talked to Dante Williams, post game. So they talk a lot. They're very close. But at the same time, I know that his family really likes Nebraska. Like, his birth mom and his stepmom, they both really like Nebraska. The proximity factor here really weighs heavy because they'll be able to come and see him play. So it really is. His kid's kind of unique, and it's a really good combination of both. But I do think that they would have an opportunity to hang on to him if there was a change made.
Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, a thought or reaction to Buki?
We kind of all said it. We kind of saw the writing on the wall on this one. Doesn't mean that it stings any less. I mean, it still stinks. This guy was the ringleader of your class. He was the best player, clearly, in your class. One of the top cornerbacks in the country. Kranak was talking about needing more dudes like Goodrich. You need more dudes like Buki as well, who are kind of the complete package, where it's not just that they're really good prospects on the field, but they kind of have that. They're like gravity, right? To steal a Fast and Furious line. People are just drawn to them. And that definitely was the case with Buki. He knows that the instability around here is just not something that's going to be best for him in his future. And I wish the best to him.
Greg Smith with us, Hale Varsity Radio, as we're talking recruiting Nebraska with several visitors in this week. Out of that crew that's coming in your opinion, are these wasted visits, assuming a change happens?
I forgot a couple. Wide receiver Cassidy Woods and tight end, four-star tight end Cameron McDonald out of California. So there's even more. I don't think that they're wasted visits. And here's the big thing to kind of keep in mind with this is that even if/when that there's a staff change, you got guys on this staff that are kind of auditioning for potential jobs in the future. Whether or not that's here at Nebraska even, you want to be able to show that you've been able to get stuff done. You were able to continue being professional and continue, you know, grinding it out on the recruiting trail. And hey, what if you magically get some sort of commit out of one of these guys as well? You can really have a feather in your cap that you were able to do something during some tumultuous times. So now I don't think that they're wasted, because you never know who's going to be retained on staff. If there's a change and three of these assistants are kept, then you'll want to have had these guys already on campus. So when you circle back to them to say, hey, we're still really interested in you, you've already got the seat warm, so to speak.
Greg, what's coming up from you today? Tell us what you've got rocking on HaleVarsity.com when it comes to recruiting coverage, and you're busy today with all the visitors, and you've got a list up, correct, on who's here with HaleVarsity.com?
Yeah, definitely. There's a list on HaleVarsity.com on the message board with all the visitors that are scheduled to be here this weekend. I'll have a write-up here sometime this morning about the game I went to see last night between Scotts Bluff and York. There was a lot of talent on the field. Spoiler alert, Garrett Snodgrass, 2019 player from York, is a D1 player, probably needs a Nebraska offer. Awesome. But you had a couple of commits on the field for Nebraska and Massey Mayhew from York and Garrett Nelson out of Scotts Bluff. So I'll be doing a little write-up on that. And then you can look forward to the recruit gallery, because there will be lots of opportunities to take pictures before the game.
Awesome stuff. Be sure to follow Greg on HaleVarsity.com and, of course, on Twitter at GregSmithHV. And can subscribe to HaleVarsity.com. Great premium content. Greg does an amazing job with recruiting coverage. HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. Greg, we'll see you up at the stadium, bud. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Hey, no problem. Kramak, just hold your nose and enjoy the passing of the football today.
All right, 50 passes, Greg. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Give me an over-under. Give me an over-under. How many pass attempts today?
Over-under 40. Okay. I'll go over.
Yeah, all right, I'll take
that
too.
Okay, all right.
Look, man, I don't hate the pass.
You've got a reputation, my friend.
I just don't want you to be putrid running it. Right?
I can respect that.
Yeah.
Kranak's got the sprint option short side tattooed on his back.
Yeah, I mean, don't be hating.
It's all right. It's a cool tattoo. I like it.
I know.
Colton says we need to shut up and leave. So the show is about done. Greg, you take care, bud. Thank you.
Hey, have a good one, guys.
You too, man.
I'm going to go.
Ted the Irishman, what do you think happens today?
I think it's going to be a slow start. Going to get to the half. Nebraska looking good. And then I think I'm feeling good for a win. I really am.
All right.
I'm feeling good.
Give me a number.
3 seconds.
28-12.
All right, there we have it.